Shall I buy it? Okay, are we on? Are we recording? Tov, we are on page 67 in the Hebrew version of Gan HaShalom. In the paragraph entitled HaShoresh, what are we talking about? So we mentioned yesterday that husband needs to put his wife in first place. What does that mean, that he puts his wife in first place? It means that she's the top priority. She's the main thing. Everything else is not important. It doesn't matter what I'm doing right now. It doesn't matter what I want to be doing. My wife needs something, whatever it is. I drop everything and do what she wants. Or if my wife is picking out new bed linen and she wants pink and I want blue, doesn't matter what I want. My wife's decision, especially in the home. The wife's domain is the home. Outside the home, I heard from my previous Rebbe that I learned with, so I don't know if it goes according to Rav Arash, but a previous Rebbe I learned with said, any decision that's to do with the house, follow the wife. Any decision to do with outside the house, Tov, then you can have an opinion. Right? But inside the house, the home is the wife's. You get to be there if you're lucky, right? And so if she wants to have pink wallpaper, she has pink wallpaper. And if she wants to have a new oven, she has a new oven, right? No questions, right? Probably we can extend that wider, whatever, right? A wife has to be first place. That's what this chapter's about. But over here, Rav Arash is telling us a chiddush. He's telling us that you can put your wife in first place. You can be a wonderful husband. You can buy her jewelry. You can jump when she says, can I have a cup of tea? You run to the kettle, right? And she's still not satisfied. Why not? You're doing everything you should be doing. So he said you should know that that's just external. There's an internal part of the picture that you're missing. Externally, you can do everything she wants. But internally, it's not coming from your heart. You're not doing it because she's the most important thing for me. I'm doing it for an easy life. I'm doing it because if I don't put this book down and help her with the shopping, I'm going to get it in the neck for the next. I'm going to hear about it, right? She's going to get upset. She's going to be grumpy. She's going to be angry with me. So I'm doing it for practical expedience. Because that's what's useful at the moment. Or, if she wants a cup of tea, why do I want to make her a cup of tea? Because I want her to make me dinner later. I want something back. So I'm doing everything I should be doing it, but for ulterior motives. Either trying to avoid getting an ear bashing, or I'm trying to get something good for me.
Is that also true? Let's say you do everything for this person, the wife, because you genuinely love them and her, want her to be happy.
Yeah.
But on some levels, it's still possible internally if you don't feel it, that of course she'll know and won't be satisfied. Is that possible too?
Yes, that's what we're saying. We're selfish, basically.
No, but you can do something for someone without expecting anything in return just because you love them.
Yes.
But inside, if you don't really feel it, then she's going to know that.
Telling me two different things. You're saying, on the one hand, I am doing it because I love you, but on the other hand, I don't really feel it. So,
no,
which
you
one?
Feel like you do it because you care, but feeling is something different than doing.
No. So ultimately, I don't think they are.
You do
I don't think they are. Like, so in truth, for example, let's take another example. Parents. Right, we can do things for parents because we should do it. We have an obligation, they expect it, whatever. And we can tell ourselves, I'm doing it because I love them. Why do I call my mum every week before Shabbos, Ladugma? Right? Why do I call and say Shabbat Shalom? If somebody asked me why I do that, I would tell them, I do it because I love my mum. But it's not true. It's just words. The truth is, I'm doing it out of obligation. She expects me to call. She's waiting for my call. It's what she wants. I also love her. It's not that I don't love her, but I have to be truthful to myself that right now I've got better things to do. I've got to iron my shirt. I've got to get to show. I'm not, right now I'm actually calling her because I call you every week. And if I don't call you, you're going to call me on Motsi Shabbat and say, no, what's going on? Right? I'm actually even though I love my wife, in the general context, I do love my wife. I'm very happy. I care for her, whatever. But right now, I'm making her a cup of tea just because.
But if you do everything to make that person happy in a genuine motive,
yeah,
you know, just for that simple sake, and someone's still not happy, then there's still an issue.
Yeah, but that's the issue. So what Rav is saying, the issue is why she's not happy, because it's not coming from the heart. Even though I might tell myself I am, the truth is it's not, because she's a true barometer,
okay.
Right? Not me. I can pretend
okay.
to myself, and if I'm honest with myself, I'll admit it. But that might take me a while to admit.
What's the difference? I make it, of course she make a tea, later she won't cook for me. Or I say I make it because I'm a love shown by. What's the difference?
It's no difference, both is wrong.
Right.
Because if I do it because I want shalom by it, means I want shalom, I want peace, I want it good for, I'm doing it for me.
No.
I should be doing it for her. There's a difference. The basic difference, who am I doing it for? Am I doing it for me, for my good, or am I doing it for her good? If I'm doing it for her good, I don't care about the consequences. She likes me, she doesn't like me, she makes me tea, she doesn't make me tea, she shouts at me, I make her tea and she calls me all sorts of names. Doesn't matter, I'm doing it anyway because I love you.
No, shalom bayit.
I'm not arguing with you on your words. I'm arguing with you in reality.
No.
In your words are correct. Reality. If someone did it for the sake of the mitzvah of shalom bayit, 100% is great. There's no greater lishma than doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, doing it because Hashem wants shalom bayit. But if I tell myself I'm doing it for shalom bayit, I think I'm making a mistake. No. I'm not sure that I'm actually there.
So yeah, how you start? Let's say you start now, and you do it for shalom bayit. So now you come home after the prayer. So how you start? You have to start.
Start
now. Hashem, help me to make a tea.
You mean right now? And
you see, I'm
can you not know what? So right, because right now I'm not at this level. I'm not at this level. So I have to do it. Right. So right now I have to. The reason, if I get married, right, and for the first year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I'm not doing it on the right level. My mash, I'm not. I'm doing it on the level of, this is what I need to be doing, and.
But you do still. You need to start.
So what do I know? Until I get to read page 67, second paragraph, it's not even on my radar. So I even understand there's an idea that I'm only been doing it externally, and there's an internal that I've been missing for 20 years. Yeah, there
it's,
is.
It's the same thing.
There is. And a person can go the whole life missing that essential bit. But Rav Shalom is going to come along and give us a chidushim after chidushim in this book, where we're going to fall off the chair and say, you know what? I thought I had shalom bayit, and I really didn't. And what I had was being a good husband. I'm very good at taking instructions. I can follow all the rules you want to give me. I'm wonderful. I can make tea when you say make tea. I can clean up after the... I can do everything, but I can... In Hebrew, the ikar is missing from the sefer. It's possible we should know.
In yourself, you say a man is very egoistic. Yeah. Now let's say you're studying on Torah.
Yeah.
Now your wife said, "Can you make me tea?"
Yeah.
So now you want to study. Yeah. Now you close the book.
Yeah.
And do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you start on the step to make for shalom bayit.
Nachon, I'm getting that. No,
so,
before I can get to the internal,
don't
I have to.
Close the book. So now, usually you don't like to close the book.
Right.
Maybe something now.
But now I am.
Now Hashem calling
so,
me.
Nachon, so now I'm on the path. I'm much better than the people who sit there and say, "Yeah, later, later, later," and I can, right. No, so now I close the book and I go and do it. It's wonderful and it's much better. But to also know that there's another level that I'm not yet there.
Yeah, of course. But you need to start.
Yeah. Everything. Now, no one's criticizing what we're doing. What we're doing is wonderful. It's a mitzvah. It's a chesed. It's trying to have shalom bayit. It's doing the best we can because we don't know any better. It's all those wonderful things. But now someone comes along and tells me, you know what? There's even more. And I'm going to show you what that even more is. It's called something in here. That's the real work. And so now we've got to break ourselves on to do that too.
Every day you do something.
Yeah.
Thank you, egoismus.
So right.
Is this a step to break your heart?
Ah, is it? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Every day.
I'm
a piece of the world. Of the world.
It could be. Every day. Reuven's saying that the fact that we do what we're meant to be doing, we close the book, we go and make the tea, we do everything we should, that itself is what breaks away the selfishness in us and causes us to actually do it from a good reason. Maybe not. I don't know if it's enough by itself. Just to do all the external and then the internal, just like
everything comes from Hashem, you see, Hashem calling me now. You want to stop the book and
Help
my wife in the house or something. Understand what I mean? So you break your...
I think he's right. It's like putting on tefillin. First you just do it. It's attaching yourself to your soul. And your soul's going to your heart and mind. And then you begin to love it. But first you have to just do it. Continue.
No, but even using the tefillin example, even if I've been putting on tefillin now for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, right? And... I know about you, but in the morning I just put them on.
So maybe you have to pray more.
Even though 10, 15 years, every single day.
But don't different people have different capacities to feel?
But what I'm saying is it doesn't just come from the action. It's not enough.
Right.
It's not enough just to do the action.
Prayer. You start with prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer is not only the thing. You have to make
Also, but we're saying it, but it's not enough. Not enough by itself just to do the action with prayer.
So
if you don't have prayer, you're not going to get to that goal.
Okay, you can only pray, Hashem, help me, but you not do it.
So no one's saying you not do it. Nahon, you have to do it. So no one's saying you don't have to do it. Everyone's saying you have to do it, but we're just saying doing it by itself with prayer, because prayer is avodat halev. Prayer is what's going to change my heart, right? Avodat halev. I don't. I'm not. It's not really the external action.
It's the goal. You want to be so good to your wife that you want to feel it, and you want those things. It's like a goal you want to reach. You know,
right, but how do I reach that goal? How?
You have to ask Hashem, like you said.
You have to pray.
Because you
have to do whatever you can, but that's not going to be enough.
As to what you're saying yesterday, the action is not enough, and the result is not enough. You have to have both. So the fact that you do it, good, but if you're not praying on it, and you're not asking Hashem to give you the result to put it in first place, you do it all emotions.
Right, and which is all of our avodat Hashem is the same. We have a gufan and a shema. You've got the external and you've got the internal. The external is the easy bit. You can program a robot to put on tefillin, right? The external, that's really the easy bit. The harder bit, maybe tough. I know to do it to start with, maybe to break over the barrier the first time, but after that. Then the harder bit comes.
Story before Shabbat 2 weeks ago. I have no iron shirt for Shabbat.
Right.
Wife said, "Give me a shirt." I iron.
Okay.
So 5 minutes later, she goes, "Ah!" And I said, "What's happened?" She the iron put her
on a burnt her.
Hand. So I said, "Oh, for me, she burned the hand. I feel pain for her."
Okay.
And I feel, Hashem, that she make a mitzvah for me.
Right.
And then
right.
So there's a message, and then I ask Hashem, yes.
Okay.
So now, before, and you won't hear it 2 years ago, and not.
You wouldn't care. Wouldn't care so much.
Ask or
Nahon. So look, that's because we're moving, we're progressing, but what we're learning here is the laws of Shalom Bayit. Externally and internally, we're learning the whole package. right? Other books, you can buy, you can go to the bookstore and get a book on The Perfect Marriage, right? And it will have lots in there about if your wife wants tea, make her tea. Remember to buy her a gift on her birthday.
Right.
Cool. Wait, tough. But, and that's as far as it can get. Because it doesn't.
It doesn't come from the heart. She's not. She's so sensitive. She's not going to.
She's going to know that. She's been her. She is right. Ultimately, the woman is been her. She has understanding.
So yesterday, when we were eating, so I talk about. Let's say sometimes I cook and I forgot to cook for you because
right.
I didn't ask her. So say when she cooked yesterday, every second when she cooked, she was thinking of me. How I make the potatoes,
like
and she liked the potatoes, he liked the potatoes, yeah. And this, it's a testament of good, and so, so we, when we cook, we,
we're different because everyone imagines that the rest of the world is just like them, because this is all I know, and we're two with our wives. I think because I'm selfish, she's probably selfish too. Meaning, like, I think about myself a lot. I'm doing it really. She's probably the same. Actually, it's not true. You get to see that actually your wife is really doing it, Lishma. She actually does really care. And you, it's just not there. But that's okay, because that's how Hashem built you. Right? We have to change that. But that's the starting material he gave you. That's the Chomer. He said, go work with it. He didn't. The woman, like we spoke at the beginning of the book, the woman. He gave it all already because she's fixed. She doesn't need to work on it. He didn't give her a dodgy heart that doesn't really care and is a bit selfish and all that stuff and say, go work on it. Because that's not her job. Her job is just to make sure we, right? So she's the one, she's fine. She loves us, she cares about us, she's making the dinner for us, right? Oh, and it's her.
You see, now the lesson is when you eat something, maybe it's missing salt. Yeah? So you never criticize your wife because she put all her love.
Uh-huh.
She wanted only the best. Now you say, she fell down. She wanted only honor. Understand?
Right,
you say, like, food, whatever.
No.
So you make it, you kill it.
Need salt.
Now I understand every time my wife makes it taste. I'm like, why do you always ask me what does it taste? Like, who cares?
That's
who cares? Yeah.
When I make it, I don't care what it tastes like. You eat it. You like it. You like it. Whatever. Right? Because it's not got me in it. It's not.
See,
it's good stuff.
The soul
is in the
food. And
it's honoring her. It's also like Hashem speaking through her, saying how much Hashem puts care into all of us, too, right?
He's always
thinking
of us, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Hashem loves you a lot.
But, you know, the good thing is that that's where we can get to. Right? We're holding where we're holding, and we're thinking, Tov, where I'm holding is pretty good. I'm, you know, relatively speaking, I look around and there's some really bad husbands out there, there's some really bad fathers, and whatever. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I haven't got maybe Shalom Bayit exactly like the Rav's speaking about, but I think I'm pretty much 80% of the way there, being fair to myself. So, Tov, where I'm holding is good. But what we need to see is actually I'm not 80% there, even though I think I am. The truth is I could be closer to 8% there. Le dogma, right? Because this whole chunk that we're missing is just a different quality. It's a whole, right? It's not simply I need to add on the presents on the birthday and the washing up, and it's not just like an additional add-on. I do 80% of what she asked me, and if I do the other 20%, then that's what's left. It's a whole different quality. It's a whole different mala. It's a whole different level from the external to the internal. So I actually don't really know how far away I am, right? And not so, which is a negative way of putting it, how far away I am. But the positive way of putting it is how much I've got to gain. How much there is yet to experience in terms of Shalom. Shalom Bayit, to be close, a closeness with my wife that I haven't even really tasted yet. That's just on a different level, a different planet, so to speak. And that's what we need to convince ourselves, really, that it's worth making that effort. Because it's hard for us to make that effort, unless we're being beaten up and our wife is fed up and she's screaming and she's shouting, she's threatening to walk out and has for shalom, any of those things. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I haven't really got that motivation to actually do anything different. What I'm doing now is pretty good. I'm following the advice of the Rav. I'm not criticizing. Bli neder. If I did, it's only because I made a mistake and it wasn't actually, for sure, never intentionally. I am trying to do put her in first place above everything. And I've got, I guess what you call base level, good shalom by it. But maybe what I don't have is this other level, which is really coming from here. And for that, I have to have a serious conversation with myself whether I'm prepared to put the effort in. Because what's that effort? That effort is prayer, he's got to do it. That effort is getting out and saying, Hashem, help me connect to my wife, help me love my wife, help me feel my wife's pain, help me really care about her and not care about myself, right? I have to go. I have to get out in the field or wherever I do my Zbadadut and do that prayer. Doesn't come so easily to do that. It's a lesson for me. I'm teaching it, I should be living it. And I know I'm not living it. I know I care about my wife on a certain level, but I also know that I don't care about her on another level. And tough. Everyone has to be truthful with themselves about where they're really holding. And to know that there is more, and Hashem can give it to me, he wants to give it to me, he's just waiting. And that when he does give it to me, it's going to be out of this world, it's going to be unbelievable. So I have to give myself chizuk with those ideas in order to move me forward. Otherwise I just stay where I am. It's good for me, I'm okay. It's not the end of the world, it's not the end of the line, it's more.
What's that level? What are you trying to get at through your prayer? It could be that you have to do through your prayers that God gave you your zivug. There's a reason why he gave you this woman. And convince yourself through prayer. Try to understand why she's number one. Why is she make her number one? Why not some?
How does that help?
So you have to appreciate your wife and want her to make her number one.
But even if I appreciate her qualities, I appreciate she does lots of chesed. I appreciate she cares very much for the children. I appreciate she cares for me.
That's what you're talking about.
It's very nice, but then. How?
It's like to make her truly happy, since she's so sensitive, you have to feel it. Otherwise, she's going to be unhappy on some level. And if you really want to make her happy and you care, you're going to want to do everything to feel it, which means talking to Hashem. You're going to do everything physical, and she's still going to not.
Right. Because there's going to be a level that I need to break. I need to break myself. My heart needs to be broken. I need to have lev shavur. I need to be broken that I can't. What's going to break it? The realization and the truth that I'm not feeling, that I'm dead, that I'm missing this. If I really feel that, then I'm going to be broken, and then Hashem can fix it. And until I break it, or until I admit it's broken, I can't fix it. I think. But I need to get there. It doesn't mean I can close this book, go to the field, and be brokenhearted. I need to get to that stage. By doing everything, going through the steps, being a good husband, doing all this, trying my hardest, praying, and then realizing it's still not enough. When I've tried everything else, kilu is a slug of kochi v'yotzim yadi. I try and do everything myself, and when I realize that I really can't do, I've done, tried everything, then I'm dead, then I'm brilliant, then I'm finished. I put my hands up to Shemayim and I surrender. I put my white flag and say, I've done everything, and it's still not enough. Then I really believe it's only him. Hashem, you've got to help me, because I've done everything, I've tried, and it's still not getting there. Then I can really ask for his help. Because maybe before then I don't actually... Oh, I'll get there, I'll be nicer to her, I'll feel her pain more, I'll try and appreciate it, I'll try and internalize. That's still me trying with all my capabilities and qualities and emotions and intelligence and understanding, and I'm going to get there. But ultimately, I'm not going to get there without him. I need to know that I'm not going to get there without him. So maybe I need to do all that. Need to do all that first and then realize that I'm still not done it.
I know at the beginning they had told them to not many people do this, they review their life. And your wife is a big part of your life. Think of those things. How do I treat her? Why do I treat her this way? Why does she treat me this way? You see things that you've done wrong. And you talk about this. Read a book like this, and you say, well, in spite of the way of she's treating me pretty well, I really deserve it. And you say, well, what can I do? How can I improve things? And then this book kind of gives you ideas of what you can do.
Right.
The first thing I think I had to realize is that I got a good wife. It's hard to do. I mean, for many people, that might be hard to do.
Even if my wife's not right, Rabbi Arush says that this book you can have shalom bayit with the devil. Yes. Meaning, even if you think your wife's the devil, do everything it says here, and you're going to have. Yes. It's going to be wonderful. You don't need necessarily. It's great if you can appreciate her, and because I appreciate her, I'm going to work harder. But even if I don't yet appreciate her.
No.
I do all this, and then I'm gonna it's gonna come.
But then the discussions before were different. The discussions before with Hashem, the prayers are, why'd you give me the devil? There's gotta be a reason for it. Why am I married to the devil?
Right.
Okay, and I'm married. And maybe I'm married to the devil so that I can follow Rav Arush's books and so on and so forth, or I can improve my midot.
Yeah, the truth is that the only reason I'm married to the devil is because she's reflecting me. Right? So, right.
That's why he gave it.
That's why anyone who starts working on this book, they realize very soon that the wife's not a devil anymore. Why? She's changed. She hasn't changed at all. You've changed. She's just reflecting you. But it still can be from my end out. Can be. I'm not saying that.
Well, if you don't realize it, then you're the real devil.
So you follow the book. He brings the story. He brings the mashal of the story of a guy who was married to this really awful wife, and he went to the rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, I just want to get rid of her." And the rabbi said, "Yeah, I'll get you a way to get rid of her." And he shows him a way to get rid of her by making the neder, blah blah blah, right? And he said, "But just she's only got a few weeks left to live now. So in the meantime, just be nice to her in the last few weeks." So he's nice to her, and he comes back. She's great now. She's changed. She's different. No, she didn't change at all. You changed, right? Yes, come in.
I have a question. If two people are dating, and you know, they believe they're soulmates, but they're not married yet.
Yeah.
Does that, when the actual marriage occurs, does that, if they've always been soulmates, but the actual wedding changes the dynamic, so they feel each other in a different way, even though they're soulmates before they actually marry?
Before you're married,
you're meant to be
my understanding is, what you're feeling is not
real.
It's Hollywood romanticizing emotional stuff. It's not real. When you're not joined. Bat Ploni is destined to be married under a chuppah with Bat Ploni.
Okay.
But you're not joined on a soul level.
Okay, let's say you're doing everything that, because you really want this person to be happy and you love this, you believe that you really, you know, you want, you're following the book as best as you can before you're married. You know,
okay, which is fine.
It's going to have no real effect then until you're married.
Depends,
right?
What you mean by no effect. It's having effect. You're doing great stuff. I mean, much better to be treating someone in a very wonderful way, in the perfect way possible. Wonderful.
But the other mirror, I guess, it's like
she's not yet your the other half of your neshama.
Right, so therefore it's not going to work on some level even if you're trying really hard.
Some things might not work the same way.
Yeah, okay.
Years. I mean, I've got 5 kids by that girl, and we've been living together for 25 years already, and we just, you know, I get married. Things are good. You know, that's what's going on out there, too.
Is it me, too? You was, in the beginning, your wife is maybe nice to you, because you have other things to fix in your shalom bite. And then, after Hashem see you come another level, now you give him more blessing.
Alright. Yeah, the beginning years, no, the beginning years, everything goes, everything is fine. Right, Hashem's not going to test you. Right, people find also, when they make Aliyah, their life is completely different. Right? Why? Because you moved up another level. When you moved up another level, and you can handle dealing with things, Hashem says, no, let's deal with them now. Why couldn't that? You can't handle dealing with your anger, dealing with your selfishness, dealing with your jealousy, when you're fresh off the boat from, right, you do Baal Teshuva, you don't know nothing, you're still trying to work out when you say Shema. Right? Hashem is not going to hit you with, now work on those midot. Like, Tov, lat, everything's going to be wonderful, you're going to be fine, you're going to get on really well, the marriage is going to be wonderful. Later on, when the time is right, you're going to start seeing that actually things aren't so good. And you're going to look back and say, yeah, but things were great. And when I was first married, wonderful, everything was great. And I didn't treat my wife like this. Right? And so I look back and say, well, see? But it's not true at all. Hashem just had mercy on me. My wife should have torn me to pieces. Right? She should. Right?
So, not negating the Aliyah. When your wife walks into the bank and starts crying for half an hour because she can't make a deposit, or you get a phone call and you have absolutely no idea what they're talking about.
I still have that now.
It's a logarithmic increase in stress.